On this Friday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Eric Snodgrass is here from Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Hey, good afternoon to you, Eric. Thanks for taking time with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, so let's start with the system. It was really cold here last night. That just went through, that is. We had snow yesterday. Snow on the ground in Champaign County on October 31st through November 1 is just odd as all get out. Does it mean we have a pattern change coming? And tell me about the system.
Yeah, you know, this has been a tough week. If we just rewind the clock, think about last Saturday, we had so much rain. I remember talking to you last Friday saying, hey, if you can get anything done today, go, 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 because the weekend was going to be so wet. So that we got some places up to 4 inches a week ago. It was beautiful on Sunday, crummy for the front half of the week. Thursday, we have a system blow through that brings in snow. Hey, at least the sun's out today, but we've got, you know, just soggy ground and now snow that's melting and quite a bit of ice because we bottomed out in temperatures last night. And the pattern change you mentioned is really happening north of us. So what's different is that, gosh, I mean, going back such a long way over this past growing season, we really have featured more often than not a big trough out west and a big ridge over the southeast. Well, now that trough is no longer sitting over the west. It's now pushed between the Great Lakes and the Hudson Bay. And therefore, our next at least 10 days, maybe even longer than that, is going to feature northwest flow. So that pattern change keeps us locked into a very low chance at seeing a lot of above average temperatures. More often than not, we're going to be cold, as you've probably seen in several of the maps that are advertised that. And the other thing, too, is our flow aloft is going to be coming out of the northwest. So now what we're looking at here is these little clipper systems, these weak little, you know, things that come sneaking out of, you know, Alberta or Saskatchewan, and they come through the northern plains and just clip us real quickly with some brief precipitation. Good news about that is, overall, that's a drier pattern. So when we look out, even over the next 2 weeks, we aren't right now seeing any major indications of these great big, you know, storm systems sweeping through the country. Now, we can thank the pattern change and the fact that the western United States and the Gulf of Alaska is all blocked up with a big high over low pattern. So that's a long answer to your short question, but it's significant for us here as we're going to try to get this crop out of the ground. We had a good window more than a week ago, and now we're going to have to see if the way that the soil conditions will respond after this week's precipitation open up a week or so for us to continue harvest efforts.
Are there any big picture things in the Pacific Ocean or in the Arctic that tell you what we're looking at?
Yeah, it feels as though a lot of our, we call them teleconnections. In other words, these are weather features around the world that are connected in some way to our weather patterns here in the United States. There's a few things that I'm watching that I feel are at what I call inflection points, which means they've kind of hit a turn. One of those is this Indian Ocean dipole event. We've talked about it now, it feels like, for about 6 weeks. It reached a peak and it's slowly waning in intensity, and it'll probably do that through the end of the year. Now, why does all that matter? Well, that Indian Ocean dipole event has sent a wind across the open Pacific toward, you know, from Australia over towards South America that's anomalously coming from the west. So what that means is that is giving us almost like a hint of El Nino-like weather for our fall. Now, normally El Nino falls are colder and wetter than average, but there is no El Nino event going on right now. It's this Indian Ocean dipole event, and it's waning in strength. The other thing is, with the cold air sitting over central North America and going straight over the North Pole and then hitting Siberia, that may be stressing the position and strength, and I hate to even have to use these words, but the polar vortex. It's now that time of year. We got to start talking about it. And if we start to disrupt that early in the season, in other words, get it out of round, change its speed and strength, that could really send us into a relatively volatile early winter here. So, you know, it seems like every time we talk, I use the word volatile, and it certainly seems something now is kind of brewing with these things changing that is going to impact the rest of our month here, a new month here, and then into December as well. But good news is, at least for the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to have harvest windows open up that will at least be longer in duration than the ones we have been seeing, which is good news.
Do those teleconnections, especially those in the Indian Ocean, connect to South America in any way?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we like to watch, especially during our winter months, is actually something that often sits between the Indian Ocean and the Pacific and moves back and forth over that area. It's called the MJO. We've talked about it a lot here. The MJO has been taking a backseat to this big Indian Ocean dipole event. Well, when that Indian Ocean dipole event calms down, it'll be the MJO that'll be the new dominant driver. Now, in South America, we know that eastern growing regions, so Bahia, Goias, Tocantins, and also Minas Gerais, that area has been very dry. They've been doing better in Mato Grosso, but Mato Grosso do Sul has been dry. And earlier in the season, it was dry down in Rio Grande do Sul and Parana. So I just kind of mentioned there's been a lot of dryness in Brazil. Well, if that MJO event jumps out after the Indian Ocean dipole calms down, that could actually spell some later season dryness for the soybeans as well. And this is all going to compound when we start to think about the harvest of the soybeans and the safrinha crop that will go in later. So in the near term, while Mato Grosso is wet, Northern Argentina is wet, I think that we are going to have to watch Brazil very carefully, because even though, you know, they're anticipating some pretty big production out of soybeans this year, despite the late planting, I think that come end of December and into January, which is a critical time for those beans, we might have a story that's not so favorable coming out of Brazil as well. I'll keep watching it. I'll keep you posted every Friday, because I think it could be something that could affect our markets at some point.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible.